Hey, it's Maggie. I can't get to my phone right now. You know what to do.
Dude, Maggie, I have something to tell you. You gotta call me back.
I do make a killer playlist, so for those that have had the gift of me making them a mixtape, you're welcome. If you're feeling drained and tired, you're not the best version of yourself. I've never lost my sense of self in all of that. So keep advocating out there and get your needs met because you deserve that. Shocking. Tia loving people? Crazy. Operation Make the Irish Girls Triathletes. You heard it here first, folks.
Hey, it's Maggie.
And Tia.
And this is
Call Your BFF.
Happy Friday, besties. It's Tia. And as the famous Jason Derulo would say, or I guess sing, I'm feeling like a star, can't stop my shine. I'm loving cloud nine, my head's in the sky. I'm solo, I'm riding solo, I'm riding solo, I'm riding solo, solo. Welcome to a solo episode that Maggie and I are doing because our schedules have been so crazy busy and recording episodes has been a little bit challenging. So we decided to try some solo episodes. So you get to hear my banter with myself instead of with Maggie. So bear with me. But our episode is all going to be about a day in the life of Tia. So Maggie came up with a bunch of questions to kind of see how I could answer them and just kind of learning more about my day to day. And currently I have a little bit of time before my hot yoga class because your girl's trying to get fit again and get a little sweaty. So that has been a very interesting journey of trying this and doing pretty well at it. So you're getting me trying to get ready for that. And I feel really awkward because there's a bunch of people walking past my car as I'm doing this. So this is brand spanking new. I'm used to being in my bedroom or in my apartment doing these. So ready to rock and roll with Maggie's 10 questions to learn about Tia and her day-to-day life. And my first question Maggie gave me is, if you had 2 extra hours in your day, how would you spend it? And I really love this question because I feel like my 2 hours extra I would either spend with friends or family, my dog, and just like that quality people-to-people time. May that be like eating, may that be a FaceTime, may that be doing a new adventure, but just doing something with people because I could just never get enough being around people, especially my loved ones. And even if it's like going for a walk or having dinner or like just continuing just to be around those people is how I want to spend my 2 hours. That sounds really nice. The next question is, what is your ideal way to start a Monday or start the week? I think I would prefer my Mondays to start well rested, right? Like waking up and not being like, ugh, I have to go to work. So some things that kind of help me with that is when I'm not as rushed. So getting up early, being able to take my time and like get up and check my phone, being able to like drink some tea, maybe a cup of coffee since I'm kind of dabbling that again, just with my gastrointestinal stuff, getting to like read a book or talking to my friends, my family, or Brady, and just like getting to like start my day slow and in control and being able to just like orientate myself to like what my plans are for the week. So like Monday mornings, I always look at my calendar and just kind of see like, okay, what do I have planned this week? What's going on? What to expect? And just like being able to navigate that. So Mondays, I like low-keyness, slowness, getting up and running, which kind of also kind of leads into this next one. Maggie asked me, what do I listen to on my commute to work? So many that know me know that I'm not a huge like music person. Like I like music, I listen to it. I don't really explore new music unless like someone sends me a song, which Sabs is super good about sending me songs to like try out, or like Brady. Like I've definitely gotten better music tastes from dating him. And I'll usually on my way to work listen to the radio and like listen to like the talk shows. There's a couple that I really like, but a lot of them have changed, which is fine. But I like flip through the channels quite a bit between like hip hop, country, a mix of music, things like that. And I sometimes will listen to my Spotify mixes. I do make a killer playlist, so for those that have had the gift of me making them a mixtape, you're welcome. They're super fun because I like to be super thoughtful in like the music choices that I have. So my Spotify playlists tend to have like some that are more like pump up, like let's go, let's get this shit done. And my one go-to song that if I need to get pumped the hell up before something is My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. And that just gets me super pumped and excited. Another like Nicki Minaj or Cardi B gets me definitely going if I'm like really dragging butt in the morning. I tend to not listen to podcasts in the morning just because my commute isn't as long as an episode, and I really don't like stopping in the middle of an episode. So I tend to listen to more of my podcasts like on my way home if I am to listen to something. Normally on my way home, I do call Brady and we like process our days together as we drive. But yeah, I feel like it's kind of a boring answer to that, but I have some type of background music on. I'm sometimes singing with it, jamming with it, and going along with that. Yeah, I'm gonna pause there because there's more people coming and moving and it's distracting me. So I'll pick up with question number 4 on this journey.
I'm back, and hot yoga went so good, y'all. I felt very confident and strong today. We're making moves, so I'm here for it. And here we go with the next question.
What was your biggest struggle in your transition between grad school to working full time? What advice do you have for any new therapist entering the industry?
This is a good question, and I feel like my transition was pretty prolonged just because of COVID, where I wasn't able to start working until August of 2020 because I had to have a license before I could actually start to work. So I think that actually helped me take a little break after grad school, because grad school is just like super intense and not only emotionally draining, but just like physically draining and just all the different types of draining. But I think the hardest part for me was just like feeling so excited to finally be able to like do my job and like help people. And at the beginning of my job, I had to do a lot of training and different things, which makes sense. Like that's so, so important. And I felt like a lot of it at times felt really like hand-holdy, and I was just so ready to work and just do the thing. And I appreciate it now looking back into how much I was able to like research things and look up things and just learn more and more about just like different modes of therapy and just different things that I wanted to like become a niche in. I think the biggest advice I would give new therapists entering the industry is just really know what your boundaries are and like what you're willing and not willing to do. I think it's so hard to balance as clinicians being able to take care of ourselves, advocate for our needs, and also help all the people that come through our office. So by having those boundaries, I think that just helps you be able to do this job for a very long time. And I know it's definitely something I'm continuing to learn, and it's every day is a new battle of boundaries and getting better at them with my clients, with my coworkers, with my supervisors, with everyone. Because at the end of the day, if you're feeling drained and tired, you're not the best version of yourself. And with our job, you have to be on and have to be able to like be present in other people's emotions and be able to help them guide through whatever they're feeling and thinking. And by having those boundaries, that helps you just be so effective in that. And also like be okay to try new things and take risks and ask lots of questions, because therapy is beautiful and there's just so many different ways to do therapy and so many different ways to learn about it. So just figuring out what you like to learn about and what you want to be good at the beginning, that way you can have a niche if you want to, or if you want to be more generalized, you can too. But I think I was really ready to be in the working world after grad school. So I'm very thankful that I had an opportunity where I had some space to like really learn and take on those different responsibilities of being a clinician and kind of working my way up to being a fully licensed provider, and how many people you have to see with that, because there's definitely stamina that builds with that, and there's exhaustion that you work through and figuring out how you can navigate that for your people. So I really like that question. It's definitely tricky but beautiful. Maggie's next question for me is, what's your favorite way to de-stress and wind down after a long day or week? I love this one. So after a long day, my way to unwind is I always call Brady on my way home from work, and we kind of just like process each other's days. And the next thing I like to do is just like take a shower, eat, and like just get everything organized for the next day, and then like color or read or try a new craft and just like relax. But my all-time favorite one is on Fridays. Every Friday, my mom comes over to my sister and I's apartment, and we watch RuPaul's Drag Race together. And that's my favorite way to de-stress at the end of the week, because all three of us just get to connect and talk about like our weeks and different things that are stressing us out, and get to have lots of good laughs and just be mesmerized and amazed by the amazing talent of the drag queens that are on RuPaul's Drag Race. So that's my favorite Friday thing, and I'm glad that we've really made that a consistent activity that we all do together. But then on the weekends, I like when they're more low-key. Like, I get to like work out and like spend time with like family and friends and just like exist and not have to like think about work or think about anything, just getting to like be alive, you know. And I'm super excited that it's finally getting warmer outside, so there's like more hot girl walks that are happening, and getting just to do more, because I hate wearing shoes and socks. So it's definitely getting to that weather where I can feel more grounded in that, and I just really appreciate like that time and space I get to spend with my people after a very long work week. That's definitely where I get a lot of my energy from, is from my homies and my family and friends. Maggie's next question is, this is a tricky one. What is something that has happened so far this year that you are most proud of yourself for? And then she wrote, P.S. I am proud of you for becoming so much more vocal with your needs in so many areas of your life and speaking up for yourself. Heart emoji. Love you, Maggie. Thank you for being proud of me. What am I most proud of so far this year? I think honestly, like what Maggie's saying, but like, I think I'm most proud of just really learning myself and knowing exactly what I want and what I need and standing up for what I believe in. Like, I 100% can trust my gut and what my gut's telling me to do about certain situations and interactions and things like that. And I'm really proud of, I've never lost my sense of self in all of that. Like, I know what I enjoy and what I love and what I appreciate, and I would never change any of those things about me. And I love how I'm just so unapologetically myself. And I think this year I'm really like regrowing into that, especially after all like my gastrointestinal problems where I wasn't feeling like myself. I was really drained all the time, was having a hard time at work, had a hard time with social situations, and I just wasn't myself. And I think now that my health is finally back where I want it to be, I'm definitely feeling more confident and feeling more passionate and just being more of my bubbly, fun self, and being able to like express like, this is who I am, this is who I want to be, and like, let's freaking go, life is fun, let's travel, let's do these things, and continue to like advocate for my needs and communicate them and not be afraid to express my emotions, even if I am afraid of like how someone's going to react to me, because my emotions are valid and my gut and my heart are in the right place. So I think I'm just really proud of just like my self-growth and just my recognition of who I am in my life right now at 28, and I definitely wouldn't have seen myself being where I'm at when I was like in high school, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, I'm really, really proud of how I've handled a lot of situations and navigated like different heartbreaks and different just like big challenges in my life, and now having more new challenges in my life with grief and different emotions that really pull at my heartstrings. And I'm really proud of just allowing myself to, again, feel my emotions and not hide from them or hide them from others, because I'm being my authentic self, and your girl has big, big emotions that she feels so, so deeply about. And I love that about me, that I can just cry when I need to and communicate when I need to and just continue to be amazing. So go me. I like that one. Maggie's next question is, a lot of people don't know that you've been struggling with some health problems for several years. What they do see, though, is your constant ball of fun, laughs, and radiant energy. Other than having an insane pain tolerance, how do you manage day to day while dealing with so much? You know, I don't know if I have a good answer for this one. I think I've just always had this like extra gear where I'm like, I gotta get my shit done, and I work hard no matter what, which it probably has led to some burning out feelings. But I think the biggest thing is, like, if I feel like I can, like, semi-function, I'm going to do it and I'm just not just, like, mope and sit around. Because I think as soon as I just, like, sit, and especially with my gastrointestinal stuff, if I just sit and just think about it, it hurts worse than if I'm like distracting myself with work or distracting myself with like coaching soccer or hanging out with other people. So I think I just was really good at ignoring how much pain I was actually in. And like now that I'm on the other side of it, for the most part, like there's still like some issues I'm having on with that stuff, but I don't even know how I did it for so long, because that was like a year of my life where I was just in constant pain, felt nauseous 24/7, migraines all the time, wasn't eating, wasn't like fueling my body the way it needed to be, because I just couldn't with all of that. And I think I just kind of went into this mode of survival, and I need to be able to pay the bills, and I need to be able to like not let something as stupid as my gastrointestinal system take away from the time that I want to spend with like my people and my job and those things. So I think I was just really resilient in it and just distracted myself a lot from my pain, and that is sad that I had to do that for so long. But that resiliency has definitely gotten me here where I'm finally on the other side of it. And now doing like pelvic floor therapy to like help with some of my like intestinal issues, and just trying like different modes of things. And I'm finally feeling that energy that I can like start dancing again and just like be more goofy and be myself again. So I'm excited for this year. I think year of 2024 is going to be a year of growth and more fun. So for those that are in a lot of like chronic pain that is not known and not seen by other people, like I see you and I hear you, because not many people understand, because you look fine. And I know I'm definitely someone who when I'm in pain, like no one knows. Like there's been so many times where I've gone to like the emergency room with my parents, and we have a family friend who was a nurse in the ER, and she's always like, you just look so like you're feeling great, like you look like you're having a good time, but you're just in so much pain, like can you look like you're in pain, Tia? And I'm like, I don't know, like this is just how I am, like my pain scale right now is like a freaking 10, and that's why I'm here, and I don't know how to look more in pain for people. Like I'm always bubbly, and I think having those like hidden illnesses that no one really understands, like just like makes it so much more frustrating when you're trying to like advocate for your needs. So keep advocating out there and get your needs met, because you deserve that. Everyone deserves to get their needs met. The next one is, give us a rating of some of the new meals you've cooked or just had recently. Which one would you make again? Ooh, okay. So I've been dabbling in like the Blue Apron and like Green Chef meals. And one that Brady and I have perfected outside of that like meal service is a peanut butter curry lo mein. And oh my gosh, y'all, it is so good. We have it with like obviously like lo mein noodles. Brady does the sauce, so I don't really actually know how to do that part, but it's a really nice creamy sauce, and then we put a bunch of vegetables like broccoli and carrots and peppers and just make it into like a little stir fry thing. That one's been a good go-to. That one I can only have like once in a while though, because it kind of hurts my guts if I have it as leftovers, so we have to be more conscientious of that. I really enjoy like the Green Chef ones, because they have a lot of good alternatives, and like I've been eating a lot more like fish and trying to eat more cooked vegetables, because that's like what goes down my body more and like my body can break down. But my new favorite fish that I didn't even know was a thing is barramundi fish. It's a white fish. I don't know, it's kind of big. I've never seen one in real life, but it's muy delicioso. 10 for 10 would recommend. So I've been doing more of that for meals, but I haven't done any of my other meals that I like to do. Like one I want to make that I haven't done in a while is jackfruit tacos. And for those that don't know what jackfruit is, it's actually a fruit, and it's a very, very high source of protein. And a lot of people use it as a meat replacement, and it's super good with like taco seasonings. And your girl loves a taco. I could eat tacos in so many different forms every single day. Like I'd be so happy just to eat tacos 24/7. So I definitely want to incorporate more tacos into my life, because I've kind of fallen away from the taco train. But I can't think of any other ones right now, but I do enjoy cooking. I'm more of a sous chef. I don't like to be the head chef and tell people what to do or do the hard stuff. I like to be the one who like measures and cuts, even though my family gives me so much shade. I'm such a slow vegetable chopper where everyone's done with their parts of the meal and I'm still like cutting the carrots. So, you know, we can't be great at everything, and slow and steady does in fact win the race, because it's still super yummy. Another one. If you could have any other job in the world, and no, lying on the beach at our beach house is not a job, lol, it should be, what would it be and why? What is preventing you from doing this job? Okay, I have a couple of thoughts with this one. So, like, my one is if I want to continue in therapy, I would love to become a sex and relationship therapist. That is something I've always talked about and I'm always interested in talking about. And I really like, I love talking about taboo topics. And I feel like sex is getting more talked about in our culture and it's more socially acceptable to talk about. But I definitely want to help people enjoy their bodies and whoever's bodies that they love and helping them just feel connected and supported and just working through some hardships that can come with that intimacy side of relationships. So if I would continue in mental health therapy, I would go that route. And that is something that I've been thinking about and would be like another like 10 years or so. I think that'd be super cool. Non-therapy way, I always talk about this, like when I'm getting closer to retirement age and I feel like burnt out from mental health therapy, I want to work at a winery and help people just learn about wine and then get to talk to people. Because shocking, I want a job that talks to people and interacting with people. But I love learning about people's lives and where they've been and adventures, and I just love getting to know who people are. And I feel like a winery would be a great place because it's sophisticated, it's normal working hours and wine, obviously, and just getting to like help people enjoy and just have a good time wherever this winery may be, hopefully next to our beach house. So that would be a really another fun one. I have been also dabbling with the idea of wanting to volunteer at the Humane Society because I just miss dogs so much and just to go walk dogs all the time. So I think another one would be I would love to walk celebrities' dogs because I think I could probably make a good salary walking rich people's dogs. I think that'd be super fun because I love being outside, I love walking, and I love dogs. So it just sounds like a great combination. But I can't think of, well, obviously this podcast, if it keeps growing and booming, that would be cool to have as a job. But I think I'd always want to have mental health therapy somehow incorporated into my work just because I do really enjoy it, as stressful as it can be. And I've worked so hard to get to this point, and I want to continue to see like where my career grows and changes. Because I would also love to be a supervisor at some point and help other people learn to be their best version of therapy and what their theoretical orientation can look like. So that's definitely, again, that's down the road because I think I have to be licensed for like 5 years or something before I can become a supervisor. So that's definitely something I would love to do too. Or I would love to be a zookeeper. I love animals as well, but I don't know which animal. I kind of want to do all of them. So be just like on this rotation, which I know is not how zoologists operate, but that would be cool. And I also would love to be a marine biologist, but also the ocean's low-key scary. And I've never scuba dived, and that low-key feels claustrophobic and terrifying. So I don't know if I'd be successful, but I think it'd be cool to like learn more about the ocean and help the ocean be better too. So a lot of like half-baked ideas, and you guys will all have to stay tuned to see what place I go next. And the very last question. How has navigating exercise now as a retired college athlete been? You've gone through a lot of health issues and injury preventing you from getting back into your sport. Do you have any desire to play again? Try something new. Just working out for health reasons? In parentheses, just taking notes on where we're at with your decision to do a sprint triathlon. Someday, Maggie. It's hard. It was harder now than ever, I think. Like during grad school, I think I did a pretty good job of like going to the gym, going for walks. I went to yoga once a week with Chloe when we were there. And at that point, I was just working out to relieve stress because grad school was insane in the membrane. And when I moved back to Wisconsin after that, I did play adult league indoor soccer. I actually did a little bit, I think, during grad school too with my dad's team, if that was that timeline. I don't know. My timeline's not, it gets a little hazy in the brain. But I dabble in playing in an indoor co-ed soccer league. I'm normally a sub because I don't really feel like paying for it, if I'm being 100% honest. I do love it, and I haven't done it since my flare-up, so it's been almost 2 years now since I've played in indoor. But I like to get to play with my like girls that I coach. I like that. I've been doing, again, more of that hot yoga, which I'm enjoying, but that won't be a long-term thing just because it's expensive. But I mostly work out just to feel good. Like, I definitely notice, like, my energy levels are so much more lower when I don't work out. So, like, now that I'm finally, like, feeling healthy enough where I can get back into a routine, like, walking, I like biking at a leisure pace. I'm definitely not quick by any means. So, Maggie, we're going to have to work on that part. I do like swimming. I like breaststroke because I don't have to put my face in the water. Again, leisurely. I love a leisure type of a thing. I would love to get back into playing soccer again, and I probably will soon. I want to touch the ball independently first because I'm also very competitive and hard on myself and don't want to be really crappy when I first go back, even though I should be. It's been like 2 years, but I always am really hard on myself with that stuff. So I'll definitely this summer like go and juggle and do some dribbling and whatnot as the weather gets nicer. But I think I just work out just for my mental. My mental health definitely improves when I do workouts, and I really like yoga. I think that's something that I've really learned to appreciate because I like stretching. I like the slowness. I like the strength that comes with it. I am going to try to be a gym girly again and try to get some weights lifted and just regain my strength again, because ever since my flare-up, I've become weak. This is the weakest I've ever been, and that feels weird since I've always been an athlete. So it's definitely a mind shift with that, but I like to work out because it just feels good, and I like doing like team sport stuff because I love people. Shocking. Tia loving people, crazy. But that sprint try, I think the hardest part for me, Maggie, is definitely going to be the swim, just because that looks too competitive and crazy. That would scare me. The biking, I think I'd feel the most confident. In running, I could probably do. I would just have to train, and I think that's the hard part, feeling motivated to train. So we'll see. Maybe we'll start with just like a 5K race. Chloe would be proud of me too. We can get her involved as well. Operation Make the Irish Girls Triathletes. You heard it here first, folks. But those were the 10 questions Maggie picked for me. So I hope that you guys have learned a little bit more about me. And if you guys have questions that you would want Maggie and I to further process about ourselves or share with you all, please feel free to message us on Instagram. Like and subscribe to all the beautiful things. And we appreciate you. And we hope you have a great Friday. Talk to you all soon.